I'm Niles Harvey, class of 26, and I'm here with Brandon Irax. We're going to start this interview today. So my first question for you, kind of coming in as being a Suwannee student, is like, could you share any stories that kind of stood out to you while you, as your time here as a student?
Yeah, I mean, I was very involved in the admissions office at Fulford as a tour guide. I had the opportunity to meet a lot of students during those periods of time. And I'm also a Posse Scholar recipient. So it was one time where I was doing a tour, and I guess I had some students, well, it was definitely students that I met previously, but I didn't know that they remembered me.
Right.
And they was like, oh, when they finally came on campus, like, hey, you gave my tour, like, you're the reason why I came onto campus and stuff like that, and we chopped it up. And I say, like, you know, it just reminded me of the power of just, you know, one, representation.
Right.
But also being able to connect with students or just people in general and sharing your story and your outlook or perspective on things.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like one meaningful experience. And then also, I guess, being a part of like the African American Alliance.
Mm.
We did a couple of protests for Black Lives Matter, where we did we kneeled during the football game, and we was on the Swan Purple Fur page and whatnot. Caused a lot of you know, discussion and discourse,
right?
Because it's pretty controversial for the kneeling national anthem. And I was a part of so much, but I would say really just being able to utilize my voice, support my peers, and encouraging them to use their voice, and just being a support for my peers and the new people that I would meet on campus eventually.
Gotcha. So I guess, like, going along with things that you kind of talked about, like, how did you feel your voice was heard, or do you feel like it was heard, or what was your kind of thoughts on representation like throughout the campus during your time here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say my point of view, I would say my voice was heard. Thankfully, I had like people on the staff,
right,
and administration that I built rapport with, so that was really helpful. And it's just like lessons, like, you know, the whole thing of character, like, you know, people are always going to talk about you,
right?
But when you have like a great character, people are willing to go to bat for you behind closed doors. People are advocate for you without you even knowing.
Right.
So I think that was really helpful for me personally.
Mm.
But it was times where like peers on campus, their voices weren't heard, and I was like, you know, troubling. Whether it's like a Black woman or a woman in general,
right,
like with like issues of sexual assault, party culture, etc., amongst other things. So it was like eye opening, and it made me realize like some of the privileges that I do have and how I could utilize those to, you know, work with other people and get a better understanding and challenge of myself too.
Gotcha.
So
my next question, I guess, kind of going into that, is like, what were your first impressions when you came to Suwannee, or like if you visited, or, you know, seeing a campus for the first time, what'd you think?
I was like, damn, there's a lot of white people. You know, I'm from D.C., Black. I went to all Black schools,
right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was like, damn, me and nature. But I always was a fan of nature, the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really excited because for me, D.C., during that time, I needed to get away. So this is like a second chance, if you will, for me to, you know, be productive with myself.
Absolutely.
Of being back home and, well, getting into trouble and not being as productive. So that's how I looked at it. It was like, man, this is like my place to, I have a roof over my head. Mm-hmm. I have an opportunity to make some friends, and I already have my friends here. Being in Posse, I already have like 9 other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 30 other people that I already knew or
right,
have some type of ties with through my scholarship. So I just try and find a way to get involved as much as possible, to keep myself busy, to not think about things that I was struggling with back at home, family issues, but also to to connect with other people on campus. So it was like, despite the lack of racial diversity, that I knew it was an issue, but I saw like the, for me, it was a bigger thing for me. And then thankfully I had like professors on campus, mm-hmm. That I really connected with, one of them being my first year professor, Kevin Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Took English 101 with him. I thought I was going to fail that jump because my high school didn't really prepare me for college as much. They had like, I took advanced placement courses.
Right.
But I was like, it was still like a lot of growing to do.
To do, right, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So just going to his office hours and connecting with him, connected over Batman. Batman, rap, and that was it. And so that really helped. And he was very supportive and connecting with other professors, Dr. Courtney Thompson, Dr. Sid Brown, just plenty of them, Dr. Jordan Troisi.
Right.
So yeah, that was like really helpful.
Okay. And I guess like being, I think one of the things for me, like being African American student here, is like really trying to find a group that you feel like you can be a part of. And you're mentioning how, since it's so many, it's a overly wide population here, like, my question to you is how did you kind of navigate that space and deal with that? And I know you said you had your friends and groups of people that you already knew prior to coming to the university because of your scholarship, but like, how did you navigate really like that overall white presence here at school?
Yeah, I would say just joining like BIPOC groups, being part of, like showing up,
mm-hmm.
and talking to them, kicking it with them, and then Gamma, Sigma Phi, and then PST. They had spaces where I could go and I felt comfortable and good, and it's nice to be around. And then eventually, through inspiration and motivation through other friends, my peers that were older than me, or like junior seniors,
mm-hmm.
motivated me to start new things or take the initiative for things. So me, a couple of friends and I, we ended up doing, attempting to bring Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, that's when I was like, okay, this is like just a stepping stone. It's major for me as a stepping stone to, you know, spark inspiration for other people to bring organizations or things to campus, whether it's Greek life, just anything. Like, you can do it, like, figure out avenues, people that you can connect with, talk to, and you'd be like, oh yeah, I support you with this. And so doing that, it really helped get me out there, because I wasn't a party person, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would be on some chill stuff, you know what I mean? I'll go to any events, community service events. I'll go to like a kickback or something that's on campus.
Right, right.
I'll be like, all right, cool. Because I didn't really drink too much. I was just more focused on like making meaningful connections. So once I joined the fraternity, it allowed me to be more in the social life.
Right.
But I didn't feel the pressure, thankfully, because by the time that happened, that was like my junior year of college.
Mm.
So the homies already know how I am, so there ain't no peer pressure. They were like, oh yeah, you know, Brandon showed up to the party, oh, I bet. And then, you know, I enjoy myself, meet new people.
Absolutely.
And just navigating through those spaces. And then it was some white spaces. Like, I joined the philosophy club, very interested in philosophy. I majored in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very white. But we talked about things that transcend, you know, race, you know what I'm saying? So, and it was just really good, just join different clubs, poetry club, and just seeing other people. And it really stretched my consciousness and understanding of like how different people from different cultures operate. So that's when I got more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just very involved in like multiple leadership roles.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just like my outlook. I was just trying to get in where I fit in. And I had a purpose, you know what I'm saying? The purpose was to help people and connect,
right,
and make people who's like coming in, make their transition smoother than what it was for me.
Right.
Because I came in with a different type of mindset. And I had my struggle. Like, at one point, I was like, man, I don't want to be here no more. It's like a lot of stressors, whether it's like relationships on campus, not doing as well as I thought I would be. Like, I did really well my first semester, first year.
Mm-hmm.
And second semester, and then my sophomore year, I struggled a lot.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, dang, am I supposed to be here? Like, I don't think I'm that good. Like, there's people that's, like, not even studying for that many hours, and they're getting 90s A's and all of that.
Right.
And I've been studying, but I just can't get it. And I'm getting like C's and D's. And I just had to remind myself, you know, I'm running my own race. I can't compare myself. You know, it's all about my personal development and progress. So, there we go.
So, I mean, and I don't know, I guess I wanted to kind of touch on the like academic piece too, because I think I wouldn't say that it's a shared similarity, but it's from the same point of like doing a certain amount of work, trying to get to a certain point in your life, especially here at the university. And I guess my question to you is like, do you feel like there are a lot of head games like played when you were here? Like, as far as like, what I mean by that is like academically, did like you have maybe like your white counterparts make you think like, you know, maybe you're not like the right fit for academic spaces, or maybe like you should consider maybe doing something else that was outside of your major? Do you ever have any experiences like that?
Not in my major, but it was some white counterparts that, you know, because I have a different perspective, they would probably try to invalidate my perspective or they'd be dismissive of it. But I was like, man, nah, I ain't gonna let you, you know, play me like that.
Right.
So I never like confronted them, but I was like, all right, you gonna see. I'm going to just keep doing my own thing. And then another thing that I was really grateful about, like, having my group, the community, the people, we just go talk and vent. Like, bro, this person was big tripping.
Right,
you
right.
You heard that?
Right.
Like, why they say that? Like, how are they moving like this? And then thankfully I had professors who witnessed it or called it out, or I could talk to them. I felt comfortable talking to them about it, whether it was happening in their class or in another professor's class. I was like, hey, man, this happened and stuff. So I was just thankful, like, to be able to have access to people that was willing to listen. Because it's just, like, one of them things, like, man, the black experience of Sewanda, there's no single, like, definite experience of the black experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, like, sometimes it's just, like, if you know a certain group of people, or some people, like some professors retire, some professors leave, and those probably be key people that really help, you know,
the experience,
like Mr. D and Miss Barber, you know what I'm saying? Those were like my godparents. Like, I was like, I would always go to their office, chop it up with them. If they wasn't here, bro, oh man, my Sewanda experience would be vastly different, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's just dope, and those just two people. So it's just like, man, if it really depends on the relationships you have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like humbled and grateful that I had, you know, people like that, because I'm an alumni from 87, completely different era, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just different. So.
Okay. So I guess, like, joined with, like, obviously those connections that you made, did that help you, like, change your perspective or shift your perspective from your first impressions when you came to the university? Like, as far as going from, obviously, your freshman year all the way to senior year?
Yeah, I was like, man, I'm willing to try more. Because I'm just, like, I'm from D.C. I'm, like, I'm used to buildings everywhere, catching the train, the metro, and stuff like that. I was a fan of nature already, but I was more open to coming out here, and I had a greater appreciation of stargazing, looking at the stars, utilizing what was available on campus, doing outreach trips. That was another thing that really shifted my perspective. I went on outreach trips all 4 years, and I was encouraged by one of my friends. I was like, I mean, I like community service, but I don't know about, I could just go back home instead of just doing that. But then I was like, I'll get more out of it if I do like something else, and I could go somewhere else, experience different cultures. So, just finding ways to get myself involved and being willing to get involved, and having a sense of humility with dignity, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To be like, all right, I could try something new. If I like it, then I, you know, if I want to, I could continue with it. If I don't like it, hey, at least I try, and now I know.
You know what you like, right?
Yeah, so that's what really helped me out. You know, working with different people from, like, different communities on campus.
Yeah.
Because I had friends that was, like, in leadership roles for, like, Ola, Adelante, Acasa. Yeah, I'll just pull up, show up early, like, 30, 15 minutes early. Hey, y'all need some help setting up. And get to build rapport with them. And then, like, I get to learn more about their culture. And I'll teach them something about my culture. So it's, like, a thing like that. So that's what really like helped me shift my perspective of like, dang, I'm at a white ass place,
right?
I'm out in the middle of nowhere,
right?
You know, so,
because I can definitely understand that from like, I guess, from my own personal perspective too. It's coming obviously coming from a city and then coming to a place like this, and granted, I've been around a lot of white people before, white counterparts, but then coming to a location like this can be a little bit daunting because of everything that's around.
Right.
So I definitely understand that. My last thing would be, I know you talked about some people that had some major impacts in your life, especially here in university, and you mentioned a couple before, but are there like any, maybe like one or two that really like stood out to you or made like that huge difference where you're like, without, and I know you mentioned this earlier, but like without them, like none of this being here would not have been what it is.
An additional person, and shout out to Miss Barbara, Mr. B.
Right.
Them two are legendary. They held me down. Another person is Curtis Johnson, my mentor. Because my father was in a nursing home when I was like 14, and he lost his ability to speak. He had speech impediments. So navigating black manhood was very difficult for me. So I did a lot of reading, a lot of research. So coming to Suwannee, Curtis Johnson, who worked in the missions, Fulford, is very pivotal for me. Like, he taught me a lot about just manhood, integrity, you know what I'm saying? It helped me build up on that because I had a decent foundation, but he helped me refine that foundation. And getting involved with him at admissions, that's literally what like started everything. Like me getting involved in so many leadership roles, going to the admissions office, messing with him. I was like the co-director for, I forgot the title, but it was like multicultural something, where I was hosting meetings with multicultural students, bringing up different topics. I worked with him very closely in the admissions office. Again, I was a tour guide. I would host students. All of that was like really helpful. It was just good to see representation on campus and get a different perspective from somebody else who lives a completely different life. You know what I'm saying? Similarities there, but then he has his own story, you know? And I think that's, he's like legendary. Kevin Wilson, very helpful. Again, like I was literally like went to go grab dinner with him and his son Patch yesterday, you know, and keep in touch with him.
That's dope.
We got sending like rap songs, like, hey, bro, check this out, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, like I have so many people, Miss Heisen Ray, Miss Shirley. Like everybody is like really that community based. Like I come back here and I know like I got love for somebody on campus and they got love for me, you know. So, and it's like a genuine thing. It don't matter how long ago we talked, and we left, like we pick up right where we left off.
That's good.
So yeah, so I say, oh man, I'd be remiss, Dr. Courtney Thompson. Oh man, cause man, she checked me, bro. She checked me one time about like just. I think I definitely made like a sexist remark, and she checked my shit, and I was like, "Damn!" And it was like one of them, like I was clueless. I didn't even know that I was saying
that, right.
Sexist. And she was like, she clapped back with something because she has like a gentle voice. She clapped back with something. I was like, "Man, damn! Like you bagged me." And that's when I really like took into consideration, or I really mindful of like, you know. We all can potentially do some harm. If you think you can't do no harm, then you're more likely to do it without even knowing it. So, Dr. Courtney Thompson, she taught me a lot about my manhood too, and how to, you know, check my privilege. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, yeah, so I have, for black women, I greatly appreciate black women and their contributions. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So I definitely, yeah, she number one, I'd say for sure.
So she acted as more of like a, I don't know, someone to just keep you in line and remind you of like the things that you should and shouldn't do.
Yeah, she like I talked to her like I was just talking to her like 2 weeks ago. I told her I'm coming up this jump, and she's like my big sister. You know what I'm saying? She looks at me as her little brother, so she provides that guidance and very nurturing. And she holds me accountable. Like she's not afraid to like call me out on my BS. And we both learn from each other.
That's good.
Regardless of the age gap, you know?
Yeah.
And it helps me, like, it challenged me to be a better person. Yeah, and keep me humble. I want to continue to grow, man. So
absolutely.
It's a all of them, everybody that I mentioned.
Right.
But Dr. Courtney Thompson, man.
She did, yeah.
She did her thing. I took courses with her. I could talk about her for a long time.
But yeah, I know, I'm sure.
Man, yeah, so, yeah. Miss Barber, too. That's my heart, man. So, again, it's like I got a great amount from the black men, Curtis Johnson, Mr. B,
mm-hmm.
But Dr. Courtney Thompson, Miss Barber, man, they nurture me a lot because I know they're like a person.
But no, you know, they're all good.
Like my mom had passed away when I was 14. You know what I'm saying? So that nurturing, man,
needed.
It was needed. It filled the gap, filled the void, and those people. That's the reason why I had the type of impact that I had when I was on campus.
Right.
They gave me love. I gave love back.
Right. You know, kind of understanding, like, you know, these are things I was looking for and I wanted. And yeah. I want to be able to give those things back because, you know, it might have been harder to acquire for
me. Yeah. Can't pour from an empty glass. They filled me up, you know. When I was, like, just about to be empty or already empty, they helped me fill me up just a bit so I could go ahead and pour in more into myself and I could give to others.
Oh, it's always good to have somebody to obviously, like I said, keep you accountable, but then also be from the standpoint of pushing you to do greater things and to be greater yourself.
Facts.
Absolutely. So that's great to hear. I love hearing stories like that because I don't hear too many like that nowadays, really, and hear so much and in other areas as well. And it's just reassuring, I guess, from a student perspective to kind of hear that. Yeah. So,
no problem.
I'm very glad to hear that. And, I guess the last thing really is, like, are there any, like, pivotal moments or stories, like, other stories that you might want to share that had any other types of impacts, you know?
I would say then grad night.
Grad night?
Okay. Yeah, talk grad about. Night. Man, it was just, like, everything, like, a bunch of feelings, a bunch of emotions, positive emotions, just grateful, like, dang, made it through Sewanee, like, people, and this was like, man, at one point I didn't think, like, white students would drop out of
right.
college.
Right.
But they was dropping out. As I was staying, I was like, man, everybody drops out. I was like, man, I thought it was like more so like a BIPOC thing.
Right.
But, you know, white people was also, like, people who had struggles, you know?
Right, no, absolutely, yeah.
So it was just seeing that, but, like, I was like, dang, me and the homies, we made it, you know what I'm saying? Throughout all the struggles, you know, throughout the fears and stuff like that, and it was like, dang, we made it, man, we grew, you know, a lot. You know, I saw a lot of progression through my friends that I helped out with a little bit, I probably helped out with more, or I just witnessed, you know what I'm saying? And they did the same thing for me. So grad night, man, we just really enjoyed each other's company. And I was like, man, dang, this the last time we all gonna be in close proximity together.
Right.
You know, so for like any students, you know, that last year, senior, just take it all and spend that time with your loved ones, see staff, administration. And give gratitude, because that was another thing I did. I'll write a thank you card
yeah.
to professors and express my gratitude and what they learned and thanking them for their patience with me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'd be like, man, sometimes I'd be struggling in class. I used to fall asleep in class. I'd be like,
I understand the struggle. I understand.
So I'm like, yeah. So grad night. Poetry night at the MCC. Man, my boy Nico Darby, this man, Mr. B had like a little jazz playing, and it would play jazz based on like the type of poetry somebody would be reading.
That sounds dope.
That gentleman's type. My man Nico, he had like a poem that was like really like mysterious and like drama, and he was like very animated with it. He's just an animated dude.
Right.
Like you used to act during my time, like from 2014 to 2018, you say something about Nico Darby, people like, oh yeah, Nico. People know about Nico, bro. So like that was like really cool just to see everybody express themselves in a creative manner. And that was like really great, man. I think that stuff like that and people coming together as a community to appreciate the arts. And crack jokes, laugh. I got endless stories, but
no, that's
it, though. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's all good. No, I love to hear stuff like that because myself, I need to start interacting and things like that too because it's definitely needed. So, that's cool. I man, like I said, it's always, like I said, good to hear from, obviously, graduate black students, black alumni, and just kind of get their perspective, because I know for, like, obviously, as a student, like, starting out, it's beneficial for me to, like, kind of hear these things and get perspectives from people like you, just right. to kind of see, like, you know, maybe my time here is going to be very meaningful, trying to make the most of it, connections, what have you, so, no, yeah. That's absolutely, so.
It's good, and also seeing, like, the alumni come back, you
know? Yeah.
Mr. B, oh, Mr. B, Joe, his homecoming party, bro, yo, it was lit, bro, like, what we do, he'll have his, like, floor level where the food would be at,
yeah, yeah,
and drinks and stuff, and then downstairs is like the basement area. That's like where most like all the students go to, like the alumni, and play music and stuff. Man, we just having a good time playing pool, cracking jokes, playing spades, cards. Everybody having a good time. And it was like getting later, and I just remember Mr. B coming downstairs. This man gonna peek his head. Yeah. He looked around, and the man turned off the light, and the party got even more loud. I was like, hey, Mr. B, you funny, bro. So yeah, yeah. Shouts out to Mr. B and Mrs. Benjamin too for opening up their space and allowing, you know, students to come, you know what I'm saying, have a good time. So that, yeah, Mr. B's homecoming party is just lovely. So
cool.
But yeah, nah, that's it, bro. I'm just grateful.
Yeah, that's, like I said, it's always good to hear those stories, and you know, it's good. We need more of that.
Yeah,
need more of that, and especially here. And I know you're grateful for your experience and what have you, but it's definitely needed here for those prospective students that are coming in, people that are looking at the campus, and people like me too. So, well, it's greatly appreciated. And you know, thank you for your time.
As yeah, far as, thank you for your
providing the, you know, comments and commentary and stories and lessons. And, you know,
I'm just giving back what was given to me. It's the thing. Natural thing of life.
You feel yeah. Like. So at the end of the day, that's all that's needed. So like I said, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
So, yeah. But if you have nothing else to share, or yeah. All good. And
yeah, I would say that, you know, it's definitely a difficult place to be at the transition into.
Mm.
You have faith in yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that's easier said than done.
Right. I understand. You know what I'm saying?
Easier said than done, but you know, when you graduate, you'll be like, ah, yeah,
I understand.
You know, move, yeah, you move different, and you have a greater appreciation of your blackness. And I say, really, you know, love is very important to me, but I think it's just like loving one another, differences. Mm. There's no epitome of blackness,
right?
You know what I'm saying? So. Students that recognize that and appreciate that and acknowledge that, you know, because sometimes it was times on campus where people would be divisive, like in the black community.
Yeah.
Because such is not black enough, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then you isolate people, and then you don't know, everybody, you know, has their struggles.
Right,
you don't
know what that person is.
Favorite words to Sonder, which is like, and it's a group too, but it's the acknowledgement that everybody around you has just as vivid and complex of a life of your own. Just, you know, being aware of that, and you know, being open to connect to people, get in when you fit in, allow people to, you know, people gonna want to branch out and do their thing, allow that, you know what I'm saying? Don't be dismissive of other people's experiences, and don't project onto other people,
right,
know, negative experiences or what you think should happen, you know. Being possessive, you know? I think that's just a human thing.
Yeah,
us just wanting to be possessive and being in control all the time. So yeah, like sometimes you gonna take some L's, but it's never really. It's only really an L if you just stop and you don't learn from it.
Right,
because you know we fail to success, or we learn to success. Essentially, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. No, that's it.